All right, so we've covered in the last few days Davar Shein Miskaven and Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, the two main kulas of the Shabbos. As I told you, Davar Shein Miskaven is a kula b'chol ha'tara kula. Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is a kula specifically in Hilchos Shabbos, Tzatz Melachos Mashabbos. Today, we're going to go into the other two kulas in Hilchos Shabbos. The first is the Din Mekalkel, which is mentioned here in the Gemara. Mekalkel means that you ruin something. The Malacha of Shabbos has to be a Malacha that's constructive, that does something. The whole Malacha of Shabbos is creative Malacha. Hashem created for 7 days, or for 6 days, however you look at it. And Malacha Shabbos is creative Malacha. You know, it's not hard work on Shabbos. You're allowed to schlep boxes a whole day, as long as you're in Rishus HaYachid. It's not work. People say not a work on Shabbos. It's not work. It's creative Malacha that's us. Things that create. Hashem created for 6 days. So we're not allowed to do things that are creative. And that's defined by the 39 Malachas. If a malacha is not creative, if it's a kilkul, if it's a destructive malacha, so that's not a malacha d'iraisa. If it's a destructive malacha, it's not a malacha d'iraisa, and that's the rule of Mekalkel. The din of Mekalkel, of course, is only a din in the Shabbos. It's not a din anywhere else. If somebody gets treifus in a way that's Mekalkel, that's not going to, it's not going to be a p'tor. Somebody wears klayim in a way that's mekalkel, it's not a p'tor. The din of mekalkel is a din that's specific in Hilchos Shabbos, just like Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa was specific to Hilchos Shabbos. The same thing, mekalkel is a din that's specific to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos alone. Gemara says here, we're still, I don't remember how much Gemara we read or didn't read, I think we're still in the first Lashon. Gemara mentions Mekalkel twice. In the first Lashon it says, in Timtza Laima, Halacha K'Reb Yehuda. If you're going to say Halacha is K'Reb Yehuda, that Dov Hashem Miskaven is awesome, Mekalkel waits Allah Pesach, and Misakin waits Allah Pesach. What's the Shaila? Is this considered Mekalkel? Is this considered Misakin? When a person is Bayal, his wife, for the first time, is that considered a Malacha of Kilkel, or is that considered a Malacha of Tikkun? That's the Gemara Shaila. Why should it be a kilkul? I think Pasha would say it's a tikkun. So Rashi says that why is it a kilkul? Rashi says, Shabesula chashuva min haba'ula. Because a woman who is a besula is more chashuva than haba'ula. People want to marry a besula, and marry a ba'ula. So a besula is more chashuva than a ba'ula. So therefore, it's a makalka. This is the Gemara in the first Lashon.
Somebody's married and her husband died before that. She's considered that a Bula.
She's married and never was a Bia?
Yeah.
She's a Basula. We're going to learn later she gets the Ksuv of a Ba'ula, but there'll be a Machlex Rishain and why. Because we're Chayshish, there really was a Bia.
So even if there wasn't, my sister, right now she's considered a Bula, and it doesn't make a difference.
She is a Bula.
Why not?
Physically, she's a Psula. As far as being desirable, she's less desirable. She was once married, but she's still a Psula. The question is, if in Halacha we give Hashem Psula, we're going to get to that. There's a question in the Paiskim whether what the guideline of Mekalkel is. It's a very important. Important question. The question is, what happens if the act itself is a kilkul, but it's done for a purpose that's a tikkun? The act itself is a kilkul, but it's done for a purpose that's a tikkun. For example, let's say I have a glass bottle that has candies inside, and I want the candies, and the glass bottle is sealed. So I take a hammer and I break the glass bottle. Now I can get to the candies. Is breaking the bottle, is that misakein? Or is that mekalkel? What do you say? It's ruining it. It's Mr. Kalkel. I ruined the bottle. On the other hand, it's a tikkun because I want the food. So what's that tally? And who's right? Is that a kilkel or a tikkun?
I see exactly the Gemara Shaila. That's exactly Obey Isha and the end part of product which she's reproducing. But nevertheless, at the beginning.
Why would you say, first up, he's Svara? Why would you say in Svara, is that a tikkun or a kilkel? If you want a bottle, if you want candies, you break the bottle to get to the candies. Just up his svara. What would you say?
Kilkel.
Why? Who says a broken bottle is worse than a whole bottle? Well, if I take a piece of glass and I cut it into the shape of a bottle, that's not destroying. It's creating. I broke the bottle. Well, what's the mile in a whole bottle? That people could use it. Is it because people want it? What makes a whole bottle useful? Because it can hold candies. Why is holding candies a purposeful thing? Because people like to hold candies in bottles. Making a bottle is purposeful because people like to hold candies in bottles. Breaking a bottle because people like to get the candies. It's not in the bottle. Is it telling the kavana or is it telling the maisa? Your kavana was certainly did it for a tikkun dikka reason.
It's more than that. If you're telling people the mechaka, what would people, like if mother would want the child that make the last bottle, even if the child would want it for some selfish purposes.
Why is it the mother wants the candy, then she doesn't mind breaking the bottle? It's like the kid wants the candy, then she doesn't want to break the bottle. What? It's a tikkun. Is that misaking? Is that a maisa of misaking? Is that a maisa of a tikkun or not?
It is. He wants it. It's a tikkun. But for other people, it's makapis. What's makapis? For other people, it's makapis for your purposes.
Is it the question of other people or me? Is that the question? I don't think so. What's the difference? I break the bottle because I want a candy, or I break the box, you want a candy. What's the difference?
Me and the chefza. This chefza is in the kapha, being destroyed.
You're saying me and the chefza, you might as well say the gavra or the chefza. So there's a tali in the person, the gavra. And what he wants. Was a tali in the thing itself? That's a good question. Yeah, kilkel. If it's not a malacha, we don't have to come on to kilkel. Someone just ruined something. There's no connection to any malacha, so it's irrelevant. It's seiser. The malacha destroyed. Steer. Seiser. What? Where would you see that? Which taisis?
The fact that I'm doing the bid, the fact that she's no longer psula, is a kilkel. He wants to do this because we've already established that there's a reason. There's a sricha l'kufay because he wants the dam, even because he doesn't want the dam the next time. Or is it really explaining that he wants to verify that she's a psula? We're still saying the fact that she's no longer a psula.
When I talk about the dam, I'm talking about the Pesach. I'm talking about the malach is the Pesach, right? The dam is good pocket. The first lush, malach is the Pesach. Yes, we're going to first lush. Malach is buying that. So now. No, you're right anyway. I mean, you just say you phrased it wrong. You were talking about Chabura, but the Savior of Pesach. He, Batsam, wants the Pesach. We already said, Eini Shakares is Bris, let me show you
something. We're still saying it's Kilkel because she's not a
Zulu. Are we saying it's a Kilkel or that's Gufa the Shiloh? That's the Shiloh.
But
every time
when we were explaining what the Kilkel would be,
when Rashi explains the Gemara, it sounds like the Tutzadim of the Gemara. Doesn't it sound like the Tutzadim? Is the first the Bia Rishayna. A man certainly wants to do a Bia. He wants to do a Bia Rishayna with his wife because it's Isa Kli and it's Eini Shekaresis Bris, Elim Yisrael Kli. But it's a Kilkel because she's worth less, so to speak. You see Tutzadim, I mean, you can certainly see Tutzadim. But, what?
Why is it not
my sense is Malach Hashem is here for Gufa. If you break it, if you break it, you're doing the Malach Hashem, so you're not doing it for me.
Well, it's hard to talk about size, so you'll see why in a minute. But let's see, by that, when you make a bia on the woman, so it's a malacha tzricha l'gufa because you want to make a pesach. You just mekalkel because a besula is worth more than a bula. So it's not malacha tzricha l'gufa. It's a question of mekalkel. But we'll talk about size. Ramesha, first of all, the Berachas Avraham and Agimara declares this shayla. Rav Moshe in his tshuva about opening containers in Chelek Aleph Simakuf Chav Beis is a very long tshuva, but at the end of Anaf Aleph he discusses the shaila and he points out, which I thought maybe someone will bring me a raya. What is the malacha of Saiser? Saiser Amanos live nice. Let's say it's an old building. And you destroy the building in order to build on that spot. You want to put up a new building. So you take a wrecking ball and you break down the building in order to put up a new building. That's not considered makalkal. It's one of the 39 malachas. Right? Saiser amanas live nice. Excuse me, is one of the 39 malachas. There, when you break the old building, that's not considered makalkal. Why? You're knocking down a building. It might be an old dilapidated building, but it's better than nothing. If it's raining, it's better to go into a room that has a leak than to have no roof over your head. So every time you destroy an old building to put up a new one, Saiser Amanas live nice, must be it's considered misaking, because it's one of the 39 halachas. And yet, the Maisa itself, if you look at the Chefza, if you look just at the building became worse. Till now you had at least a dilapidated building. Now you have nothing. So why is that considered misaking? It's almost like because you plan to build. That means the gavra, the person, plans to build.
No,
say someone else live nice is even if he breaks it on Shabbos, he's going to build during the week. So that's Malach is the Saiser.
Because that's part of the
bina.
Over here,
it's not part of bina. It's two separate malachas. Saiser is one malacha, bina is another malacha. Well, you're right. It's misakin because he plans to build.
It's part of the ticket over there. Over here, you're not being
misakin anything.
Period.
I don't hear the difference you say. When he's by other woman, it's also part of a ticket. Gemara is nearby. So Ramesha says that it seems that Ramesha holds al pisvara, because this Rai is a good Rai. It seems Ramesha holds al pisvara that misakin depends on the chefza, not on the person. And if you break a bottle in order to get to the candies, it's a makalkel. Ramesha names up. If there's a Rai for Gemara on Shabbos. And if you break a bottle to get to the candy, it's a makalkel. Just, he says, that the malach of Saiser must be different. The malach, I shouldn't say malach of Saiser, but the case of Saiser Amanas Livnais is different. Call it an exception. Saiser Amanas Livnais is different, it's an exception. And Saiser Amanas Livnais, that you go according to the Gavra. But for whatever reason, Ramesha holds that Apisvara, it depends on the Chefza. If the object, it's a kilkel in the object, then it's a kilkel. It's not called misakin. Misakin doesn't depend on the person, it depends on the object. I'm personally not clear what the tutsdadim are in Svara. It's taka true. It depends if you look at the object, or if you look at the person. Do you look at what he wants, or do you look at the bottle? You know, but so what? I mean, why should we, what are the tutsdadim? What are the reasons to look at one over the other? I'm not sure. And whether this is a machlaikis, I'm not sure. But this I know, just that the Berachas Avraham also nemzon that the ikka ledina is that it's considered, look at the chefza. And if it's breaking in the chefza, it's a makalkal. And Ramesha takes on the same thing, with the exception of Saiser Amanas Livnais. So it must be, as far as I know, that's the way it is. But in Svara, I don't know. Maybe if we go, when we finish going through the sugya, We'll have Makalka yet on Davav. Maybe we'll come up with an explanation. I don't have... If you wanted me to explain to you why one side is more right than the other, I couldn't explain it to you. I can't explain to you why in Svara, why when you break a bottle to get the candies, that should be more Makalka than Misakin. I hear Tutsadim. I hear there's a tzad. You're breaking the object. There's a tzad. You're doing what you want. But I don't have clue why... Any raya, why one side should be more than the other? Why should it be? What would I say? I would say it depends on the person. You know, what happens if it comes a generation, they say broken glass is beautiful. Make modern art out of broken glass. So they're going to break a glass bottle, make modern art out of it. So it'll be a misakin. Misakin goes according to people. Doesn't misakin depend on people? What?
How would our case be a
kilkel? You're right. As far as I don't see it. How is it a kilkel? A man is being rishon or his wife, we'll call him a kilkel. Is it a makalkel?
If it goes to the chatz, it's fine. Because here she's in the chatz, so she's no longer psula. And the psula is desired person, then here the problem with that is what? If the problem with that is there's no kilkel there. He wants to do the beer. He wants to do the beer because whatever reason he's established.
So therefore, you understand. You understand that it's a makalkel.
The only way to understand that it would. The Gemara is clarifying whether it's a makalkel. The Gemara asks whether it's a makalkel or not. But the only way it could be a makalkel here is if kilkel means kilkel in the chatz.
Yep. So it sounds like it's kilkel in the woman. It just sounds to me very strange. Here it's a bias mitzvah, and it's a wonderful thing, and Aisha Kurz was always a kli, and it's a kilkel.
Depends if you look at her or him. Her, she's not a kilkel.
Why, she wants to get married. She also wants to be married to him. She wants to be Kareses Brista husband.
She's not a mitzvah for a girl.
No, it's mitzvah. People want to get married. Beats me why people want to get married, but it's the way it is. You know, everybody, people want to get married. So she wants to get married. She's interested in the Bia Rishonim. She's not forced. She willingly is masculine. So we're calling it a makalkel. You see, isn't everything in the world depends on what people choose, what people decide is nice and is good?
What we're saying to this colleague in the chapter, saying what she wants, brings it back, saying what she wants brings it back to the gavel. We're saying that she's no longer a psula. It means as if she was an object and someone else is going to go and purchase it. Guy's going, if someone's given the opportunity to choose a wife, she was not single.
Arbitrarily, if every psula bula, so psula would be preferable.
She wants to do this.
Okay, I agree with you. As a chesed loses value, the question is, so what? So therefore, why should I look at that? The person is doing malacha. We have to decide, we can give him a skilo or not.
I'm not saying why one. The Gemara is obviously.
I agree with you. The Gemara is, that's. I don't know, have any other way of learning the Gemara. I agree with you. The tzad of the Gemara that the Bia Rishayin is a makalkel, I agree with you, seems to be saying that you just look at the object, in this case the woman, and you don't look at their intent, at the circumstances, so to speak. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. I'm just telling you, I don't really understand the Gemara. I don't see why that should be called makalkel. If it's something everybody, if all human beings agree, you know, if somebody paints a painting, right, ksiva. So he takes a painting, and he takes a blank canvas, and he paints something on it, it's a nice picture. So we'll say, ischayev mishum ksiva. Assuming pictures are kaisei, which they are. So we'll say, ischayev mishum ksiva, right? Not a makalkel, right? If a little kid will go and scribble it up, we'll say it's a makalkel. It was a perfectly good piece of canvas, and now the kid turns. So that's a makalkel. And then a nice picture, it's a misakin. One makes one a misakin and one a makalkel. People like this, and people don't like that. If suddenly people will start to like scribbles, and then that'll become a misakin. Suddenly have a value. It all depends on what people... Doesn't everything... Isn't tikkun always depend on what people want? That people think that this way is good and this way is no good. Isn't that what tikkun is and kilkel is? So why does it depend on the thing? Shouldn't it depend? If suddenly people wanted bula more than besula, it would change. It's not that way. That means it depends on what people want. So why not look at what the people are doing the malacha want, a man and a woman, that they want that there should be a Pesach. Why not judge it that way? You know, if your house, you're gonna paint your room. You go and you paint a mural in your room. And everybody else will say it's ugly. And you think it's nice. Is that a misakin or a makalkel? Seriously, was that misakin makakal? You draw something which you think is beautiful. I think it's ugly. Let's say right of the world thinks it's ugly, but you think it's beautiful. Is that a misakin or makakal?
There's certain.
Think it's misakin? Why? He ruined the wall. It's a perfectly nice wall. He messed it up. So for him, is it because it's yours? Is it because you're the one doing it? What I did was I made it nicer. You might not agree it's nicer.
What value system should we be using? The world's value system or the people in power value system? The chesed, the chesed, you establish almost by market value. Chesed is saying, look, what is this thing? How is this thing?
So you think it depends. So you say it's a macaque. If you draw a picture on the wall and everyone agrees it's ugly and you like it,
macaque.
If you're not looking to sell the room, you're looking to live in the room. For you, it was a misake. I don't know. You know. Can I ask you a question? You buy a new book, a new sefer. Somebody has a brand new Gemara. He writes in the first page, he writes his name on Shabbos. He's writing his name in misake or macaque. If you want to sell it in the store, the value just went down. Went down dramatically. A book without your name, depends who you are, you know, which autograph is worth. But most people, if you take a brand new book and you sell it in the store, it's worth a lot of money. And if you write your name on the thing, suddenly it's half price.
You can say drive the book out of whole lot, it's also basically.
I didn't ask you that, I was asking about this. But writing your name makes it worth less. That you agree. So is that misakin? Are you going to say this makalkel? So I'm asking you, what do you think? So you're right. It's misak for the chefza. It's a makalkel. For the guy, it's a misakin. Now, how do you think we should look at it in Hilchos Shabbos?
So that's exactly what you're talking about. For because he actually destroyed it. But now, for him, it's
so in Svara, why would you say in Hilchos Shabbos should that be a malacha or should not be a malacha?
We're talking about the person that's doing the malacha. So it depends on what how
it should depend on him. I agree with you. The way I would understand in Svara, it should depend on the person doing it. If it's his Gemara and he writes his name in the front page, so it should be an improvement. If he writes his Chiddush Torah in the column, right, so it's a misakin, no? I know. Not only that, everything you write. If I write a letter, I take a blank piece of paper, I write a letter to my friend. So for me, it's a tikkun. If I want to sell the piece of paper, it's not worth too much anymore. But every tikkun is a tikkun to the one doing the malacha. On my way off, I don't see. I mean, I agree with you. You said the Gemara, you're right, the Gemara is a Gemara. It has such a tzad. I just don't see it.
There
may have been a macabre.
Even if you would say that the whole world would consider it antika, sexuality, there's a ritual or something or whatsoever, and the Mishkan was total creation. The whole the person was total over here.
Why? They embroidered a design on the pareiches. So maybe I didn't think it was nice. They think it's nice. Aren't there things that are objective? Everything in the world is absolute. So I'm wrong. Ramesha says, not that way. Ramesha says that a malacha goes by the chefetz. Whether it's makakal or misakin, goes by the object, not by the person doing it. If I had Ramesha here, I would ask Ramesha, if I write my name in the front page of a Gemara, is that misakin or makakal? Maybe he'll tell me it's makakal. I took a good Gemara, and I wrote my name in it. Maybe. It's Mustafa to you. If you write your name on the front page, it's a makalkal. What? It depends who it is, I understand. Is it Mustafa? That seems to be where Ramesh is saying. Huh?
Eternal damage or
Is it a damage that can be undone, you mean? Let's say it cannot be undone. Like an argument, right? It cannot be undone. Once they're no basul, they're no basul. So I write my name in an indelible marker on the front page. It can't be undone. Now, someone, Someone else does it for me. Should be the same exact shaiva. Someone writes my name for me. I would assume you judge it by the person doing the malacha. Whether I write my name in my Gemara or he writes my name, either way, it's a tikkun. If he writes his name, that could be a kilkul. You know, if he writes my name, then it's a tikkun. What?
He doesn't care for the name.
I understand, but he cares that the owner's name be in the owner's sefer. Most people agree that that's a tikkun. It seems to me that whether things are tikkunim or kukulim depend on what people like. If you take a raw steak and you cook it, most people will say it's a tikkun. If you take a watermelon and you cook it, most people say it's a kilkul, because people don't like cooked watermelon. Now maybe there'll come a time when people will like cooked watermelon, then it'll become a tikkun. Tikkun and kilkul depend on people. Don't they always depend on people? And this Gemara is saying, no, it doesn't depend on people, it depends on the thing. So I don't understand. I don't... That's not the first time I didn't understand anything. First time everyone else seems to understand that. I don't understand that. If you destroy the bag, that's all Shiloh. So therefore, so the way I understand it should depend on the intention. If you have a personal intent to cover something with it, nothing to me. You're right. Nothing. So it's a good example. Someone takes a garbage bag. It cuts open a garbage bag, so he wants to use it as a tablecloth. So is that mekalkel or masakin? He's ruining the garbage bag. But for him, he wants to make a tablecloth out of it. So he's ruining a garbage bag and he's manufacturing a tablecloth. Who is it? Depends on his mashava. It doesn't depend on his mashava.
So it's raining outside also.
What?
It's raining outside. The garbage bag already.
But that's on carrying. You know, wear a garbage bag.
So.
What?
So it's not a problem either.
Okay. All right. So my understanding is it should depend on a person's mashava. Ramesh see and the Baruch Sevron both seem to say that it doesn't depend on your machshava, it depends on the facts. And I don't understand. If I'm totally wrong, it will make tremendous coolness in Elchus Shabbos, because it will come out that, like I said, that writing my name in a book is not a kilkul, it's not a mistake. Look, if he's doing something that's totally weird, because he likes it, I'll agree with you. But let's say there are candies in a bottle, and it's not a very expensive bottle, and he's breaking the bottle. I'm totally meshuga. I mean, other people might do it too. So why should that be? Why shouldn't that be a misakin? Huh? For him, it's a tikkun. If he's breaking the vial,
I went and broke the vial.
Unless
if I threw a vial at you and you saw me break the vial, you would look at me like I'm going to
the candy. Maybe the answer to what I'm asking is that if the tikkun is something that's incidental to the malacha, when I write my name, my tikkun is the writing. When I write my name, my tikkun is the writing. When I break a bottle to get the candies, it's not that I think broken bottles are nice. It's incidental. There's something, a side thing, which is a tikkun. In other words, it's a tikkun because there were candies in it. But mitzad the glass, but that can't be, because then by Biri Shaina, the tikkun is not incidental to making a Pesach. Because then by Bia Rishayna, when I make the Pesach, it's also, the tikkun is the thing itself. It's like writing your name on the front page of a book. If you're going to make this chilek, then it doesn't fit with our Gemara. Because the Bia Rishayna, the Pesach, is both the tikkun and the kilkul. And Sai makes her a bula, and Sai makes any shakarasis bris. And let me show you this a clean.
That's the Kasha of the Gemara. So what is asking? Is it a kilkul or is it a tikkun?
So Gemara is asking because it's this case. So then I still have a problem with the tzad that it's a kilkul. It's not a problem with the tzad to kilkel, but maybe it's not a kasha on Ramesha. Ramesha would.
It's
kind of complicated. All right, let's. I think we could clear about this for a while, and we should, but not. I'm just going to have to move on. But I'd like to get a clarification in this shayla. I'd like to have a. There's another case which comes to mind because of Tosis. There's a case in the halacha where you sweep with a broom and the bristles of the broom are breaking off when you sweep. You know, the old-fashioned brooms, they used to have them in camp. I don't know if they still do. Right? So we never used to, we can't sweep on Shabbos. So, you know, fruit kite. Yeah. So the bristles break off. So that's called mekalkel. You sweep with a broom, so you're sweeping up the room and the bristles break, that's a mekalkel. You want to sweep. See, but there it's good, because there you don't want the bristles to break. You want to sweep, you don't want the bristles to break. It's not the same as here. See, there it makes a lot of sense. There, side is the cheftz, it's a makalkal, and side is the gavra, it's a makalkal.
Yeah, but it's garbage. It's like said by Tzaveya, when you're wiping your face, it's not a problem, Tzaveya, because it's garbage, it's dirt.
All right, but there's no heter of derech lichol here. I understand what you're saying. You're saying, l'gabi misake. I don't know. I don't see exactly a guideline for the sake of the kalkul. If I confused you, I hope I confused you in a good way, because there are two ways to be confused. One is you don't know what's flying, and one is that you see that there are two tzadim, and just one side seems so much more obvious to you than the other that you can't understand the second side. So, okay, let's go to Taisis. Tais di Ramasla Imtim Salaima. Imtim Salaima Alach Kareb Yehuda Makakul Eitz Apesa Fishari Pirish. Rabbi Yehuda is like Makakul Bechabura Pater Afagav the Pater Alasa. This is a kasha. Makakul is Pater, but it's Aser. Miu Hachamut Lachatchilu Mishum Dikatarati Makakul Bechabura V'Davashen Miskav. So we have here two things together: Davashen Miskavin plus who are we talking like Rabbi Yehuda? Davashen Miskavin, which is why according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davashen Miskavin according to Rabbi Yehuda is Aser, and Makakul. So if you put Mekalkel and Dovashen and Miskavin together, then you get a heter. You have two things which each of them independently is Aser. Mekalkel is Aser, and Dovashen and Miskavin is Aser. And by taking the two together, you create a heter. What's the lumdis? How does that work? How do you get a heter from two things that are Aser? So there are two explanations of this Gemara. I'm just afraid it shouldn't get complicated. So I'm just gonna. You have two things together, Makalkel and Davashena Miskavin, according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Davashena Miskavin, like Rabbi Yehuda. So both of these are Aser. So now what we're saying is that when you take the two together, you're gonna have a heter. Okay, now you have something and something else that create a heter. So the Pnei Shulma is Pshat. Very simple. It says Kilkul is a Drabbanon. And Davashena Miskavin is a Drabbanon. So it's very good. This is called, in halachic terms, a Shvus to Shvus. Two Drabbanons. Two Drabbanons are mutter b'makim mitzvah. Taisvis says later, at the end, towards the end of Taisvis, that this is b'makim mitzvah, it's b'yirishayna. So this is the rule. We have a rule in halacha. Shvus to Shvus, a double Drabbanon on Shabbos. B'makim mitzvah. That's mutter. This is the Pnei Yeshua's Pshat, very glatt of Pshat, very easy. However, the Pnei Yeshua points out that there are some Rishayim who hold that Davashen Miskavin like Rabbi Yehuda is a Daraisa. There are Rishayim who hold that this is a Daraisa. So this is a Daraisa, and this is a Darabanan. So then you don't have what's the heter. So Pnei Yeshua asks, if you hold Davashen Miskavin as a Drabbanon, it's very good. Most Rishayim hold that way. The Lord of Yehuda, Davashen Miskavin is also a Drabbanon. He calls the Rashi Shita, that it's a Deraisa. It's a Deraisa. How do these two things together become Mutter? Kash. So Rabbi Kiva Ega has an ingenious answer. Typical Rabbi Kiva Ega. I saw this, it's not in the Chedush Rabbi Kiva Ega, it's in his Mareches, In the Gedulei Shmuel, he brings down the Reb Kiv Hagen. He says something very beautiful. Davar she'eino misgaven is what? Drinking a bench, let's say, in Charetz. Right? Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon argue by psik ratio or not psik ratio. They argue by not a psik ratio. Not a psik ratio means it's a suffix if it's going to happen. Zot Reb Akiva Eger, even according to the shittas that hold it to deraisa, it's only a suffix deraisa by Reb Yehuda. It's only a suffix deraisa because it's a suffix when you drag a bench. That's only a suffix if it's going to make the charetz. So memela, davar she'eino misgaven, even according to them, is only a suffix deraisa. Suffix deraisa l'chumra. But if you have a case which is both a davar she'eino misgaven and a makalkel, out davar she'eino misgaven, it's a suffix deraisa. But here, where even if it's going to happen, you're going to make the charetz, it's a kilkol. So the most it could be is a drabbanan, because it's makalkel. So now it becomes a suffix drabbanan. When you have these two together, Zot Reb Akiva Eger, when you have suffix deraisa by a makalkel, that becomes a suffix drabbanan. And suffix drabbanan, lakula. Shad and Tosis, you have makalkel and davar she'eino misgaven together. What does he mean? He means, well, davar she'eino misgaven itself would be a suffix deraisa. If you plug in that this is a makalkel, which is a drabbanan, now it becomes a suffix drabbanan. A suffix drabbanan is taka. What? According to the Rambam Shita, but it's not like a lot of suffix drabbanan. But so Mamela says Zot Reb Akiva Eger, we have a heter of suffix drabbanan lakula. Such a beautiful pshat. He's saying, if you would have davar she'eino misgaven alone, it would be a suffix deraisa. Right? Every davar she'eino misgaven, you drag a bench, you might make a charetz, a suffix deraisa. So that's if you're making a charetz, which is a tikkun, it's a suffix deraisa. But if the charetz you're making is a makalkel, so then even if you'd be vadai, it would be a derabanan. So being it's a suffix, if it's going to happen or not, it becomes a suffix derabanan. Follow? If you do something, you sweep with a broom, which bristles might break. So it will be a tikkun, it will be a suffix deraisa, it will be davar she'eino misgaven, it will be asur. But since it's a kilkul, it becomes a suffix derabanan. The bristles might break, but it's a suffix derabanan, because even if you break the bristles, be a dime, it's only a derabanan.
Every time you makalki, you have a derabanan?
What?
Every time you makalki, you have a derabanan?
Every kilkul is a derabanan. Except for, we're going to have the next Gemara, but generally. Okay, so this is Rabbi Kiva Eger's pshat, and this is the first pshat, it's a suffix derabanan. It's a trade to shus to shvus. Rabbi Kiva Eger's pshat is that it's a suffix derabanan. Why didn't the Pnei Yeshua learn like the Rabbi Kiva Eger? Now we get a little involved. So I have to tell you, first understand Rabbi Kiva Eger and Pnei Yeshua. I have a little Yetzirah here to speak out the Gedulei Shmuel, because it's something which we had last year, which some people that were in the shiur last year may or may not remember. People not in shiur certainly won't remember from last year, but see if you can follow, and if not, don't forget to keep Egan and Pei Shur, because it's a Tupshatim in the Gemara. But the Gedulei Shmuel says, why didn't the Pnei Shur want like Rabbi Kiva Eger? Because he'll hold. Akiva says suffix derabanan lakula, but we know that we do not say suffix derabanan lakula by a davar sheyesh lai matirin. Something which, if you wait till after Shabbos, will be mutal lechatchila. We don't say suffix derabanan lakula, even though usually suffix derabanan is lakula. But by something that, why do it now? You could do it tomorrow. We don't say suffix derabanan lakula by something if you could do it today. So if you could do it tomorrow, atcha techlenu beisa, techlenu beheter. Why get into a suffix derabanan today? You could already wait till after Shabbos and do it. It'll be a vadei deraisa. It'll be a vadei mutter. So the Pnei Yeshua did not want to learn like Rabbi Kiva Eger. He says, what kind of suffix derabanan lakula? This is a davar she'eino matirin. What's the idea of davar she'eino matirin? This concept. Atcha techlenu beisa, techlenu beheter. So how are you going to answer Rabbi Kiva now? What about Rabbi Kiva? Go l'chavit shver? This is a davi she'esh ha'matir.
Huh?
Taisa said the Gemara is talking with the chuppah. It was anyway separate. They didn't do the first diya. Not what Taisa said. Yeah, yes, so that. Something else. That we didn't have that. Mabuz Klal? Okay. What? Remember that? See that? You'll remember, maybe. We had Naidi Behudis Chiddish last year in Davi She'esh ha'Matirin. What's the Gemara's case of Davi She'esh ha'Matirin? The Gemara's case is an egg. A chicken lays an egg on Yom Tif. It's awesome. A suffix if the chicken laid the egg. It should be suffix to Rabbanu Lakula. So the Gemara says no. If you're misupik, if the chicken laid the egg on Yom Tif or not, don't eat it on Yom Tif. It's a Davi She'esh ha'Matirin. Ad she'techlenu the Isser on Yom Tif, you can eat it afterwards. So the night, there was a klal of the night of Yehuda within the rules of Davi She'esh ha'Matirin. And maybe they said it in a few cases. One case is very similar to the point of the Gedolei Shmuel. Maybe you had a shayla. A woman. The case was a woman was getting married, but she was pregnant, not from her upcoming husband. She was pregnant. She had been mezana. And the halacha is a man is not allowed to marry a woman who's pregnant with a child if the father is a Jew. If the father of this child is a Jew. Whatever the reason is. It's a Rabbanan. Rabbanan said it's usher to a person not allowed to marry me'uberes chaveirai. Someone who's pregnant from a different yid. Mu'beres chaveirai, it's usher to marry. However, this woman did not know if the man she was pregnant from was a Jew or a guy. Maybe somebody had forcibly been ma'anis her and she didn't know who it was. Didn't know it was a Jew or a guy. So the question is she allowed to get married now? Is she allowed to get married? If the man who was made her pregnant was a Yisrael, it's usher. The man who made a pregnant was a guy, it's mutter. It's a suffix. It's a suffix of an iser drabanan. Because Muberes Chaveri is a drabanan. Suffix drabanan. It's a suffix drabanan lakula. She should be allowed to get married. So one Rav Paskin, she can't get married. Even though it's a suffix drabanan. Suffix drabanan. She may be pregnant from a Jew, may be pregnant from a guy. It's a suffix. But it's a Davi She'esh ha'Matirin. You can wait. The women don't stay pregnant forever. She's pregnant for 9 months. The 9 months will end. And then you'll marry her. Why rely on Safik Rabbanu Lakula now if you could marry her afterwards? So this Rav Tainin, it's also Davi She'esh ha'Matirin. So the Lady Behuda came along with his Chiddush. His Chiddush is, when do we say Davi She'esh ha'Matirin? When do we say Davi She'esh ha'Matirin? Let's say you have an egg. You can only eat this egg once. So you either eat it today or eat it tomorrow. So we say, why should you eat it today? Eat it tomorrow. That's when we say that Davi She'esh ha'Matirin is Safek L'Chum. But in this case, what are you going to tell this man? Don't marry her today. You can marry her in 9 months, or however many months it'll take for her to give birth. You can marry her many months later. He'll say, what do you mean? I want to live with her today and later. What do you say? Instead of living with her now, live with her in 5 months. But that's not something that you do once and it's over. He'll say, what do you mean? I want to be married to her now and later. It's not like an egg. An egg you can only eat once. You say, if you don't eat it today, there's no shaykhis to a case of bia. He says, I want to live with her now, and I want to live with her later. So you can't say, instead of now, do it later. Doing later, I plan to do anyway. So the rule of Davi She'esh ha'Matirin doesn't apply by something that repeats itself. Or the other case, in Yehuda, was by a keli. which is Suffolk Treif. What were you thinking of?
So you wait 6 hours. You want to eat now?
All right, that's Almeisa. That's the best case. Right, the case that we spoke about. Now they're going to change the clocks. Being a gay, right? We had a case where a person wants to have milchiks, and he doesn't remember when he ate fleishiks. You have to wait 6 hours, assuming your minig, whatever your minig is. You have to wait a certain number of hours from fleishiks to milchiks, right? So what happens if it's through the shlishis time or blah malka time, and you start thinking, when did I finish the chalent? When did I finish the fleishiks? You don't remember exactly. You know it was somewhere between, let's say, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, but you don't remember. Now it's 7:30. You're mesupik. So what do you do? What do you do? So how do you dan? Achar it's a suffik to rabbanu lekula. If you're mesupik, what time you finished eating fleishik? The isser of eating milchiks within 6 hours is the rabbanu. So suffik to rabbanu lekula. Just what's the tain on that? So dam sheshem matirin. Why should you eat milchiks 7:30? You could do wait till 8 o'clock, and you'll know for sure that you're allowed to. It's a davar sheyesh matir. So this was in the Darkei Tshuva. He said, according to the Navi Yehuda, it's mutter, because what are you going to tell him? Don't eat milchik 7:30. You can eat milchik 8:30. I'll tell you, I want to eat 8:30. I don't want to eat 7:30. The shah is not on one object. If it's mutter or aser, the shah is not on the person. It's milchik. He wants to be milchik later, and he wants to be milchik now. You tell him instead of eating 7:30, eat 8 o'clock. I'll say, I want to eat 7:30. I don't want to eat 8 o'clock. It's not a Dosh Hashem Atirin, according to Navi Yehuda. Dosh Hashem Atirin is only something which you can only do once. That's a Dosh Hashem Atirin, not something that repeats itself. We had other examples. I think we had 5 or 6 examples last year. So the Gedulei Shmuel says that that's Pshat of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger said that this Bia is Safek to Rabbanu Lekula. Now Yeshua disagrees. He says, what do you mean? It's a Dosh Hashem Atirin. Instead of doing the Biri Shaina now, do the Biri Shaina later. But according to the Nai Yehuda, it's very good. That doesn't make it a Dosh Hashem Atirin. Say, be Bayil now, be Bayil later. He wants to be Bayil now, and be Bayil later. It's not instead. It's not something that gets used on. Be Bayil now, and be Bayil later. It's not a Dosh Hashem Atirin. He says, instead of doing it, why are you doing it on Shabbos? It's a Suffolk, Vakula. Do it on a weekday. So what do you mean? Let's do a Shabbos. It's not going to change later. Later will be by Altar. The Birushayna is only once. But there's no Atshe Techlana Bis Techlana Be'atah. You can't say, instead of doing it now, do it later. Because later he wants to have Bia later too.
No, but
the Birushayna can only do once. Which means the thing that involves the Isra is only once. But that's fine. Let's say the Milchik's case. So he wants to eat Milchik 7:30, he wants to eat 8 o'clock. Now at 8 o'clock, it's certainly mutter, like the biyishniyah, which is certainly mutter. It's the issue is only the first one, but there's no you can't tell him don't do it now because you can do it later because it's not something which you only can have once. This is how the Gedulei Shmuel explains Rabbi Kiva Eger to take off the kasha. That's a dosh hashem atirin. It's a very nice. It's a pilpul, but it's a very nice pilpul. Yeshua might disagree with the Nebu this side, which is itself a subject of dispute. Or maybe there's another way out. I'm not sure. Okay, you should know that in Halacha, this Tosfos has significance. This Tosfos is going to Reb Yehuda. It's going to Reb Yehuda, right? We pass like Reb Shimon. True? For 1 minute. Reb Yehuda holds that if it's Mekalkel and Dov Hashem Miskavin, the two together, what's the din? Mutter, right? Maida Reb Shimon b'psikreishim. The Gemara uses an expression, Maida Reb Shimon. Shimon is Maida to Reb Yehuda by psikreishim. From here, there are Paiskim, including the Taz, who learn that lehalacha, if something is a makalkel and a psikreishim together, Dabba Shem is Gavin, but a psikreishim, which is Asur. And it's also a makalkel. There are Paiskim who hold that's mutter, and the Taz says that it's mutter. How do we paskin? Mishnah Brura, in different places, seems to say different things. In the broom case, sweeping a broom, when you sweep, let's say you have a broom that's certainly going to crack, the bristles are certainly, some of that definitely going to crack off. So we don't sweep with such a broom on Shabbos. In that case, it's a davar shena miskaven, it's a psik reisha, and it's a makalkel, you're ruining the broom. It should be mutter. So Mishnah Berurah at Shin Lamed Zayin says that it's a makalkel, va'av shu gam kem psik reisha, the leini chalei. Psik reisha doesn't want the broom to break. The kamak in lechat chila in kedai. It's not worth it. Sounds like there's a kind of heter, but for sweeping, it's in kedai. You know, it's not worth being relying on such a heter. Taz is Megal. So this is a Machlaikas HaPaiskim. If we take from this Taisis La Halacha, the Makako plus Psik Resha together should be something that's Mutter.
If it's a Shul will break, then it might
be. If a Shul will break. If it's a Suffolk, you're allowed to do it. It's Davashen Miskav. Okay. What? Psik Resha. The Lai Nichalev is more reason to be Megal. Yeah, okay. Alright, I didn't get as far as I wanted today. The bottom Taisvis talks about Misasek. Let me just tell you briefly the Chiddush of the bottom Taisvis. I imagine by now you've learned Taisvis. We're getting bogged down. Not getting bogged down, there's a lot to talk about, but as far as covering ground on the page. Misasek, let me just tell you what it is and what Taisvis is Mechadish. Misasek, right, now start getting confusing, right? We have Davashem Misgavin, Lach Shetzuch Lagufa, Mekalkal Misasek. That's it, okay? No more. Four major kulas in this sugya, Davashem Misgavin, which is B'chal Tayra Kula, Lach Shetzuch Lagufa, which is only by Shabbos, Mekalkal, only by Shabbos, and Misasek. What is Misasek? Misasek means you're doing one thing, you're intending to do one thing, and another thing is happening. Meaning, for example, an example of misasek is miskavin lahagbias atalosh. You bent down, you intended to pick up an apple or a cucumber that was on the floor. Vigbias hamachogar. And when you reached, somehow absentmindedly, your hand reached for the cucumber next to it, which was attached to the ground. So you were busy doing a davar amutter, and you were misasek. Accidentally did a davar aser. One more practical example of misasek is a person who's talking or is rubbing his back against the wall, and she turns on a light. He doesn't know there's a light switch. It happens many times. People leaning against the wall, they turn a light switch on or off. That is not a shaygeg. That's a misasek. Misasek is bechlal not a malacha. Misasek is more kulidik than shaygeg. Misasek is he wanted to scratch his back. And what happened was, he did an Aveira. He wanted to do a Davar Amutter. He did an Aveira, where he's talking and waving his arms, and he turns on a light switch. That's Misasek. Or the Gemara has a case where he stands up, there's something on his lap, and when he stands up, he doesn't realize it's on his lap. He stands up, it falls off his lap, and it goes into Rosh Hashanah. That's Misasek. He was doing a Davar Amutter, and a Davar Aser happened. What is the source to be mekel by misasek? This Taisa says it's melechus machshavis. It's the p'tor that Shabbos is a melechus machshavis, asur taira, which means it's a din only in Shabbos, right? Again, davar shein miskaven is b'chal taira kula, but the other two, melech shein tzricha legufa and mekalkel, are alts melechus machshavis, and therefore they're unique to Hilchis Shabbos. Misasek, according to this Taisvis, Misasek is also Malachas Mashavas. So it goes together with Kalkam Lach Shetzir Chalagufa. The three of them are coolest just by Shabbos alone. The problem with this is, with this Taisvis, is that we find the heter of Misasek in other places outside of Hilchis Shabbos. We find Bar Parakla Misasek elsewhere. Besides Hilchis Shabbos. So that tomorrow, Yitz Hashem, we're going to have to get to. There's a Tshuvas Rebbe Akiva Eger Simen Ches. One paragraph of it we learned last year, the paragraph that talks about Chametz. I mentioned last year, but that Tshuva is a Tshuva that you should look at. And Yitz Hashem, I hope certainly by tomorrow to get to the next Chametz. Thank you.
Thank you.